Hey everyone, and welcome back to another installment of the Travel and Tourism Podcast, my first season. My guest today worked two seasons in Club Med in the late 1990s with Kevin Batt as her chief of village. Her first season was in Club Med Turks and Caicos in 1997 as a hostess, and then she worked in Club Med Cancun during the 97-98 season as public relations. Her roommate went to Playa Blanca on vacation and suggested she give it a try. She did, and then went to Turks and Caicos as a GM in November of 1996. She has a BA in English and Journalism from Montclair State University. She did ballroom dancing for 5 years, and she is the lead singer of Rockhead, a New Jersey-based four-piece bar cover band that covers music from rock, disco, the 80s, 90s, pop, and metal. Please help me welcome to my first season, Christy Nelson. Hey, Christy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Greg?
I can't believe I have a lead singer here. Thank you. But don't worry, I will not make you sing. That was my promise to you. But we are going to get into a little bit about it, if that's okay with you.
Oh, of course.
I'm going to ask you how this happened, you know?
Sure.
Thanks for coming on and agreeing to share your story with us here today. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay. So you got a BA in English. I'm currently doing a BA in English,
awesome.
Which is, you did it the right way. You got it first. Okay. Not like the Bobo that I am doing it now. And for some reason I appear to be the oldest person in the classroom. Okay. Unless there's auditors.
Experience.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Students asking me, are you lost? Are you supposed to be here? Okay. Yeah. I get those questions all the time. Okay. Are you auditing this class? Anywho. All right. So we know that you had a roommate. Now, where was this roommate that went to Playa? Like what year are we? Kind of 95, 96?
Yeah. At the time I was living in Hoboken, New Jersey. And, you know, I was just starting to work in my career, working in New York City in the consumer products industry and marketing research and just kind of, you know, starting with adult life, if you will. And one of my roommates at the time, she went on vacation to Playa Blanca and came back and just was gushing about her experience. And up to that point, I hadn't left the country yet. I hadn't really gone on too many trips. I had been to Florida for like spring break and such when I was in college. But when my roommate was talking to me about her experience with Club Med, I was like, whoa, that sounds like a lot of fun. I got to check this out. And Club Med was being advertised on TV, seeing a lot of commercials, you know, the whole Antidote for Civilization campaign and such. And so that's when I reached out to one of my best friends and I was like, Sharon, we got to check this place out. So instead of Playa Blanca, we decided to check out Turks and Caicos, you know, booked our trip, did a package deal, and away we went in November of 96.
Now, did you ask this friend so you wouldn't be paired with a stranger, or you thought she'll have fun?
No, my friend Sharon and I, like, she's still one of my best friends to this day. And back then we were kind of like known as the Doublemint twins. You know, we were both, you know, blonde, young, and going out and hanging, going into Hoboken, listening to the cover band scene, all that stuff. I knew she would be a great and fun friend to do this adventure with. So that's why I asked her to join me.
I kind of have a feeling that if you walked into Turks and Caicos in 1996 as the Doublemint twins, the GO team probably took a shine to you, I'm guessing.
Okay. I would say so. Okay. Let's leave it at that.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's where it'll stay. And remain. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just saying, like, okay. There's so many memories of it all. It's so vivid to this day. I mean, it was over 25 years ago, and I still remember when we arrived. And just seeing, it was like a Benetton ad, like the GO team. It was just so new for me. I can't speak for my friend, but for me, I hadn't really been outside of New Jersey all that much. So to, you know, be out of the country and to just see all these charismatic, gorgeous, fit, fun young people kind of interacting with us, helping us with our bags, getting us to our room and just showing us what the whole Club Med environment and experience would be like. It was just nothing that I ever had up to that point. You know, it's still a very indelible memory for me, for sure.
And when you were there as a GM in 96, I'm guessing Kevin Batt was also the chief, and then you started May 97. So did Kevin help you get the job, or you applied through the normal channels?
Yeah, actually, that is probably the whole application and how I got in is I feel kind of an interesting part to my story because so when I was there as a GM in November of '96 in Turks and Caicos, then my friend Sharon and I at the conclusion of that trip, we were like, oh, we want to go back, we want to go back, and so we rebooked another trip for February of '97, and so when we got there. You know, I was in the GM show. I was doing the circus stuff. I was just I was the ultra GM, if you will, because I just wanted to do everything. And in my heart, I believed I was like, this place is meant for me. I belong here. You know, I just knew that this would be a place that I would really thrive in. And so I did talk to Kevin while I was there, but I'm sure that he, you know, you get bombarded. I'm sure that the chef de village, you know, would get bombarded. Oh, I want to work here. I want to work here, you know? So what happened was when I came home, this was the first time I ever manifested. I had an experience of true manifestation. You know what I mean? I had a goal in mind, and in my head, I was like, I'm gonna work here. Like I was speaking as if it already was true. And I did a unique application because I did the initial application of the traditional process and I got rejected. So I got the rejection letter and I kind of expected it because I'm not multilingual. I barely speak English, you know. I hadn't really traveled. Being from the US back then anyway, we really weren't, you know, learning languages in our educational system when I was growing up was not overly prioritized. So I wasn't able to speak French and Spanish and Italian and German and such. So I thought that that was going to be a liability. So I didn't take the rejection too seriously. I said, okay, I'm going to do something different. So I made a PowerPoint presentation and wrote a poem as to why they should hire me. And it sounds so cheesy now, but it was just a great deal of effort, you know, because there was nothing really fancy or schmancy about what I did. But I just did this thoughtful application of my resume, a presentation. I FedExed it to Kevin's attention, and he called me and offered me a contract right then and there. So that's how
Okay,
I
hold up. So many questions. Are you
know.
saying that you videotaped your PowerPoint
Nope.
presentation? So how do
No,
you
I didn't.
send a power? This is 97. So how do you do that part?
Printed it, copied it, packaged it nice,
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. All
and
right. So you didn't
FedExed.
actually film yourself giving a
No,
PowerPoint
no.
presentation. Okay.
Yeah, I had no access to digital media back then.
Okay.
You know, it was more of the primitive way of conveying
So it
my
was like the top
skills.
10 reasons why you should hire Christy Nielsen, right? Something
Yep,
like that.
and I threw in like pictures from my trip, and I wrote like a poem and. And my cover letter was such just saying like I felt that I could be an asset to the organization and I felt I belong there. And from what I when I arrived on my first day as a GO and I was being greeted at my arrival, a bunch there were GOs that I already knew from when I was a GM and they recognized me and several of them were like, wow, that was a great presentation. That was a great application. And I'm like, what? And I learned later that Kevin took my PowerPoint deck and from what my understanding is he took each page and he pasted it onto he posted it onto the wall of like one of the rooms where we would have our meetings and just to pretty much say how look you know he had a GO meeting to say look this is how much some people want to work here you know so it kind of I made an impact in that regard.
I'll say I don't know anyone else who did that upon, not getting accepted the first time. That's pretty cool idea. Good on
Yeah,
you.
I just felt I knew I had to do something a little extra because I didn't have the language skills, you know. So I was like, all right, what else can I do to up my chances here? And it worked.
And now you're only one half of the double mint twin, right? Now I'm sure Sharon stayed back home, right? I'm guessing she didn't.
She came to visit me though, which
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Okay. Moving right along. Now, so did they stick you at Hostess? Did Kevin say, "Hey, you want to work here?" Or did you ask for that?
Like it was just a slot that was open. I was fine with it. I kind of wanted to just get there, and I felt that pro like ultimately I really wanted to be on the animation team, you know, and I wanted to be a choreographer if I could. But you know, I had to just get in there first, and in my opinion, just prove to myself that I was right for Club Med, and Club Med was right for me. And yeah, so I was offered a hostess role, but I was, because I was a pretty good dancer, I was a pretty good singer. So I worked with Graham Maxwell, who was the chief of animation, and I love him so much. I have a lot to thank him for, because even though I wasn't an animation GO per se, I was pulled in, to help in shows. I would choreograph numbers for the GM show. I would do fruit passages, all of the shows that we were in, I did. I would sing, at the bar. I would just do all sorts of those things every night almost. And it was awesome. So fun.
Okay, cool. Now, I don't ask this question a lot, Christy. It doesn't really come up a lot and no one really offers it, but I'll ask you, seeing as how this was your first season in Club Med, did you ever get homesick at all?
Yes, I did. I did get homesick after about a week of my employment in Turks and Caicos. I did have some homesick feelings. I missed my mom. I missed my friends. There was a guy I was dating at the time. I missed him all the way back home. And I was like, oh my God, did I make a mistake? I left my job. I left my apartment. So I had that little panic experience. And on Mother's Day, I woke up really early and I just went to the beach and I had a big cry and I called my mother to collect. And she just and said, give it a month. Give it a month. You want this very badly. You've worked really hard to get here. Give it a month. You're just adjusting. And I listened to her advice and she was right. I just needed another week or so to just get my footing, and the rest is history.
That's some great advice she gave you.
Yeah, my mom was awesome.
If we were in the village and you told me, I would have told you the same thing. I'm just saying for the record, okay? I would have talked you down as well.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
You're in such a beautiful location. There's geos that work 5, 10 years and can never get Turks and wanted Turks. You know what I mean? Like to get, because I was sent there for my first season as well, not knowing what I was walking into, and
Sure.
how people love that village. So this season 97, are there any other names we might remember like
Oh,
that were on your
absolutely.
geo team? Like who might we know?
LP, I'm
Oh
sure.
yeah, LP,
Yeah, I worked
yes.
with LP. I love LP. He's just such a great guy. My chief hostess was Gladys. My hostess team, Carolyn, Sarah, and myself, we were the contracts on the hostess team. So just having that daily touch point at the hostess desk, I could close my eyes and just visualize what I would see throughout the 6 months I was there. It's such great memories. Of course, Graham Maxwell. I was also tight with our scuba team. So Olivier, Flower, he was known as Flower. He was our
Oh
chief
yeah.
scuba.
Yeah.
Love him to death. Then he had he, there was Gooch and Makiko and just wonderful, wonderful people.
Wow, you're with Gooch and Makiko and
I
okay, so
was,
you're part of that team. Okay, yes.
yeah. They took me out on my first dives. I just got the resort certification and I was petrified to scuba. And I remember being in the pool, going through, the drills and just getting suited up and learning the basics and just sitting under the water with a BC in my mouth. And then I had a momentary freak out. And I have to credit both Gooch and Makiko. And I think Chad was the dive master. And they were so masterful at calming me down and giving me the courage to continue with the course with the resort certification. And I was able to go on a couple of resort dives with them. And I'm grateful to them for that, because I wouldn't have done that on my own.
And then you saw JoJo and thought it was a shark and panicked all over again, right? No, I'm just kidding.
No,
No,
I
okay.
love JoJo. There were a couple of times where I would work a few snorkel boat excursions. And I remember one time in particular, JoJo was swimming alongside the boat, and we just decided to drop anchor right then and there and snorkel with him. And that was special. That was awesome.
All right. And okay, so you do about I could say almost 6 months in Turks and Caicos, I guess.
Yep. Yeah, I did
Okay.
6 months there. And
Was there any hard part of the job being a hostess? Like other
yeah.
than I guess geos that were, I don't know, like when you'd seat them, they would go somewhere else. I guess that That those sneaky devils were probably trying to do stuff like that all the time, right?
Oh, of course. Smoking, non-smoking. I wasn't good with French, so I tried to learn whatever French words and phrases that would help me along in my role. But that some of the language barrier stuff was rough. If there was birthdays, I remember one night it was just a madhouse in the restaurant, and there was probably like 8 birthdays. So then I would have to, you know, find a cake and then roust the GO team from their dinner and get the stink eye from them.
Yeah, GO Wrangler. Okay, let's go.
I was GO Wrangler. And sometimes that could be exhausting. And then if I was on for a dinner shift, I really didn't get to eat because at the very end of my shift, I had to go right backstage for the show. So sometimes I left dinner.
Okay. Well, you brought up something. Okay. So I was in Turks in 94. So when we did birthdays, I'm just curious if it was the same thing. Did you start off with the skip around the room, skip around the room, we won't shut up. And then it became take off your clothes. And then some did. And then it'd be like, show us more. So did you have the same thing, or were there different ones when it was a guest birthday?
It really was this, you know, the skip around the room thing.
Okay. But
that's where it ended though. We didn't ask.
Oh, really? Oh no. It was, 94. It was take off your clothes. Shut up. And then, you know, invariably someone would, and then it would be like, show us more. And then of course, 3 people tackling the guy because he was about to do it, you know. So okay. So I guess from 94, 97 things calmed down just a skosh.
A little bit more chill, I guess.
So did they the Graham okay so he so shout out Graham he was on the podcast. So did he awesome. Did he put you in any shows, or do you remember any shows?
Absolutely because I Graham is really one of my dearest memories of my Club Med experience. He's obviously so talented, but he was also really able to work with a team of people where we all had different backgrounds, different skill levels in performing, different tolerances for alcohol, because I'm sure some people came a little bit tipsy to rehearsal on occasion.
Guilty.
Guilty as charged. he did a rendition of Tommy. There was Tommy, there was like, I forgot some of the names of it, but one was like about a state fair, and you know, just some of the funny. I'm drawing a
that's
blank.
Okay. That's fine. There's a lot going on your first season, you know.
It's
a lot to take in, especially at Turks and Caicos, and you got your New York charter and
Yep.
You got the New Jersey crew coming in too, I imagine, right?
Sure. Yeah, because the New York and New Jersey folks would hit that charter, and so every week we would get a whole plane of people from where I hailed from, and there were times that there would be GMs that would, you know, get off the bus and it's their arrival, and it's like, oh my gosh, I know that person or whatever. So that was always a fun surprise.
Yeah, well, all right, now. I'm hearing that you were tasked with doing something. Kevin Batt came up to you one day and asked you to work on a GO handbook. Is this correct?
Yeah, he did. It was pretty cool. I am one to enjoy creativity, if you will. And Kevin came up to me one day and said, hey, I would love it if you wouldn't mind giving this a shot. I want to have this handbook for GOs. And it's just to kind of give folks a leave behind, something that they can take with them and refer to them during their season about what it's like to what it means to be a GO, what's expected of them, and to make it fun, to make this handbook fun. So it was an experience because I had very little to work with in terms of technology. So at nighttime, after I was finished with my shows and then finished in the disco, so it would be about 2 a.m. and I'd work from like 2 to 3 a.m. in the excursions office because there was a computer in there that had Microsoft Office. And I was able to arrange a photo shoot with all of the GOs just to get some fun shots of all of us professional pictures done, and work that into the layout of this handbook. And I still have it. I still have my handbook.
Maybe you could take a few pictures for us. We can include
Absolutely.
All right.
Sure.
Now, do you think Kevin asked you because of your PowerPoint that you did?
Probably, yeah. I'm assuming so.
Okay, so that's how you got this gig.
All yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So going back to that call that you placed to your mom. So that looks funny now, because not only do you not stop, you go do another season with Kevin, this time in Cancun. So does Kevin ask you to go with him, or that's just where you wound up?
Yeah, Kevin asked me to go, and I was thrilled and very, very excited, of course. When I went to Cancun, well, what I did was I worked on this handbook during my little vacation. So I got flown home and I was given 3 weeks vacation. And one of those weeks I finished up the handbook at home. Then I got flown to Cancun on Halloween in 1997.
You arrived on October 31st?
I did. Yeah, it was Halloween when I arrived.
Okay. Did you arrive in costume?
I did not, just because okay. The planes, trains, and automobiles it was for me to get there. And it was late. By the time I arrived, it was late. So any Halloween revelry was probably winding down at that point. But yeah, I remember arriving on Halloween. And I was like, okay, round two, let's go.
But now you're doing public relations, correct?
I was doing public relations. I was still very involved in all of our shows.
Did you decide to be PR, or that was like the only thing that he had available?
It was just something he kind of hybridized for me. I really think.
Okay.
Instead of me being at the hostess desk in Cancun, it was a new role that he was implementing, and it worked out because he knew that I wanted to eventually maybe do my stage for choreography, and that just never happened. But but being in the public relations role, it allowed me still to also really have the time to contribute with the animation in the village, even though I wasn't an official animation geo.
So how does Turks and Caicos differ from Cancun? I mean, still both singles villages, but do you find that a much, much larger village, I'm guessing?
Yeah. Cancun certainly was larger. I was exhausted. When I came home after my Cancun village, I was very, very skinny. My mom was all worried about me. And I'm like, don't worry about me, mom. I was just running around from here, there, and everywhere, just because it was just such a big village. And I lived in the casitas, the geo rooms that were a little bit apart from the center of the village. So I got a lot of steps in. Let's put it that way.
Okay, so you didn't have a bike yet. Okay.
No, I didn't have the bike.
Okay. All right. Now, did you guys go to Daddy-O's and all that?
Oh, like, my God.
Once a week? Okay. Okay, maybe more than once a week then, so judging awesome. By your answer. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, okay. There were so many fun trips that we would go on and take the GMs with us, obviously, get a bus. We're going to head on over to Daddy-O's. And that was basically a weekly occurrence on Thursday nights. And I can just close my eyes and remember our special little area that we had allocated to us off to the left, the oxygen. I'm assuming that's what they were pumping into the room. They had these like jets of oxygen that they would just shoot down at us as the whole place just erupted on the dance floor. There were shots. I don't know if they were special Club Med shots, but I just remember shots in these inner tubes, or no, not inner tubes, sorry, test tubes that we'd be drinking from. It was just awesome. I loved Daddy-O's. What a blast.
What can you tell me about Cancun, the village itself? Like any stories or anecdotes come out of this season?
Let's see.
Appropriate. Sorry. I have
of
to
course.
Because you only work in singles villages for some reason. I have to keep stating that all stories have to be appropriate. Okay.
In all honesty, though, with my experience, because I was only in Club Med for two seasons, I really did not experience anything too bananas. You know, I don't really have too much to hide in the crazy story department. How old was I at the time? I was about 28, and I tried to really be pretty responsible.
So, mission accomplished.
Okay. Mission accomplished. But yeah, there was another fun one where we took GMs to, it was some water park. It was
I went to that one. That's right. Yeah. It was very close by the club, right?
Yeah. Yes. And And we there was one night where we did close the park and it was just for us.
Oh,
And
really?
that was so fun because it was I had a few life epiphany moments during my time in Club Med. And I remember one when we took the GMs to this water park, and it was maybe like a Monday night, you know, and I'm up on a water slide and I'm just going down this water slide and it's like 10:30 at night. And in my head, I'm thinking, wow, this is very different from the career I had 6 months ago, you know.
Yeah, when you're in marketing, you can't really do that too often, right? Like,
Really do that. I don't think
yeah.
that would have gone well for my review.
Yeah, you can't show up in a bikini at the office. I mean, not even back then, I don't think.
And in Cancun, we had an interim chief of sport. His name was Geronimo, or that was his nickname. I didn't have a nickname, but he was a man from Italy, I think from Naples. And talk about the Energizer Bunny. This guy had us going for like hours when it came to crazy signs.
Okay, so it's elegant night. You're wearing suits, dresses, and Geronimo's on the mic, not letting you go, right? He's okay. No dry cleaning.
Oh,
Okay.
there was one time he just wouldn't stop, and I was all about the crazy signs. I was all about them. I loved them.
You did?
I did.
What do you have any favorites from back then that you
Yeah,
listened to?
totally. Certainly, like I liked that there was one called Saturday Night.
Oh yeah, by Wakefield.
Saturday night, I'll be there if
Yeah,
you want.
bitty bitty da. Yeah, that one. Yeah, I don't know what she says at the beginning of that song, but okay.
So I liked that one, and then there was like "Blame It on the Sunshine" from the Jackson Five. There was "Baila Baila Conmigo." I enjoyed that, and obviously we did a sun dance at the pool at 12:30 every day. And it's funny, I actually was just on a vacation to Antigua with my boyfriend and with a group of friends. And to this day, anytime I go to a resort, it's almost like I have my geo persona comes back somehow. I just kind of feel like I'm transported back to that time, and I'll check out, the next generation of resort employees and animation staff and stuff at this particular resort. Obviously, they had their own entertainment team, and it just brought back a lot of fun memories of my own dalliances in that. So it's awesome to have
You
those memories.
started putting spoons in glasses for no reason at the table. Okay. What is
Or
she doing? Okay.
yeah, the spoons
Okay.
in the glass, and also the lifting the napkin out of the glass. That
Yeah.
was our masterful technique of seat assignments.
That's right. Woo. Okay. All right. What else can you tell me about Cancun with Kevin Back?
I mean, it was just such a blast. And when I just love the fact that I was able to perform every night, you know, and I would do the GM shows. And that was very the doing for me, doing the GM shows and recruiting guests to go on stage with me and do a little dance number. That was quite re rewarding in the sense of a lot of people that I would bring up there. You know, they had never been on a stage before. They had never been backstage. And actually, the backstage area of Cancun and the dressing room was pretty good, you know. It had those like the mirror, the lights around the mirrors and stuff. And so the guests would be pretty excited, you know, to participate.
Yeah, and there was ample separation between the men and women, other
Thanks.
than other places where you're just thrown all
Oh,
into the same
yeah.
room, no dividers, no nothing, so.
That was very funny too. Like having like you know, I became not yeah. It's like, oh, okay, I have to change in front of my coworkers. Whatever. Like it was so not a big deal.
Yeah, especially if you have, less than a minute to change, right? So you're not thinking of that at that moment, like, I don't want to be late on stage.
Oh yeah, I had a couple of costume malfunctions, so those were kind of fun. Nothing where I was bare or anything like that. But I remember there was this one costume I had, and it was a tan leotard, and it had a skirt with a Velcro on it, right? And while I'm dancing, I could just hear the Velcro just separating, and I'm like, oh, in my head, I'm like, oh, this isn't going to be good. This is going down. It's going down. then the skirt fell off. It's just because I was in this tan, nude colored bodysuit. It looked like I was kind of on the naked side, but I wasn't. But it was very like, oh boy. And you hear everyone laugh because they could see the skirt just start to fall and fall, and then boom, there it was on the floor. Good times.
Well, since we're on the subject of shows, I'm going to ask you a question. It'll segue us a little away from Club Med, but then we're just going to go back to Club Med, okay? So since I mentioned in your intro, you're the lead singer. You're actually the lead singer of two bands, Rockhead and Midlife Crisis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So did you sing at all in Club Med, or is this something that just developed later? Like, what happened there?
I have to credit Club Med for so many things in my life in terms of the trajectory my life took after. When I was a GM and there was a karaoke night at Club Med, I sang. And at the time, I was very nervous about singing in front of people. I knew I could sing a little bit, but I was very, very self-conscious about it. I was very nervous. But hey, you know, you're on vacation. You might have a couple of rum and cokes in you, give you a little bit of liquid courage. I participated in the karaoke. And by the time I became a GO, I got more confident with that. And that was hilarious too, because sometimes Kevin would be like, okay, Christy, we need you to go over to the bar for cocktail hour and sing on karaoke tracks for a half hour or something. And, you know, it's not like it is today where we can stream all the newest content. We had a very finite supply of songs. So I sang a lot of George Michael and Richard Marx.
Richard Marx? Which Richard Marx song?
Oh my goodness. He had, like, there was like Right Here Waiting and just all of his ballads. We had his ballads and I just would sing a lot of his stuff and whatever we had access to. And if I could hit the notes, I would sing them. So I kind of laugh when I hear certain George Michael songs and Richard Marx songs to this day, because it brings me back to singing with the karaoke tracks in Club Med. But yeah, that experience, though, that singing experience was very foundational for me, because then the older I got, the more I got trained. I sing every week. I sang twice this weekend. And I have a gig next Friday. So it's become a huge part of my life. And Club Med is certainly credited to helping me with that.
Well, let me ask you, because I mentioned that your band Rockhead does rock, disco, 80s, 90s, pop and metal. What metal songs are you singing?
Oh, well, it's because of my bandmates. They're all metalheads. So we'll do some Linkin Park. We'll do Drowning Pool. I sing a little Danzig. So I sing Re- Mother.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I sing Mother. Okay. I belt out Mother from Danzig. Okay. It's really
wow.
fun. I
okay.
highly recommend everybody belt out Mother from Danzig, because it's a great stress release.
Okay.
Singing metal is a really wonderful thing to do, I think. It's a good way to move energy out of our bodies.
Well, yeah, you go from singing Happy Birthday in the Club Med Cancun restaurant to Danzig. Wow, I don't know what to think.
Exactly.
Take off the clothes. Take off the clothes. We won't shut up. I guess you could make a metal version of that.
You can make a metal version. You can make a metal version out of anything.
That's right. Yeah,
that's what we're. Could. That's what we have discovered.
Okay. All right. Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Club Med, shall we?
Of course.
All right. Now, you mentioned some names already, but I don't want to leave anyone out. Is there anyone in either season, Turks or Cancun, that like you enjoyed working with? Someone that made an impression on you?
Oh, sure. Definitely. You know, from the Turk side, the folks that I had mentioned before, all still very near and dear to my heart. I forgot to mention Hammer and Julie. I mean, awesome, awesome people. When I got over to Cancun, I worked with Eduardo Rojas, and he's still a dear friend of mine. And there was Andre on the scuba team. There was just so many wonderful people that I had the pleasure and privilege of being teammates with. I miss them. I miss everyone terribly.
Yeah. Were you there for the Hammer and Julie's wedding at all when you were in Turks, or did you
No.
leave before it? Or I know it was at one point, because Hammer was the chief of sports in Turks, correct?
Yes.
So,
I
okay,
think
so
that they,
you missed it then, I think,
yeah,
if
I
you
missed that. I missed their wedding. I think that they got married before my season started, but I
Okay.
think they got married very close to that time frame, but I wasn't at their wedding. But what a great couple. Such awesome people.
All right,
Julie
we've
is so funny. I love her.
yeah, she did a lot in on the animation side too, right? I think.
Sure did. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are we forgetting anyone? I think I cut you off there before. Did we do all your shout outs or no?
Let's see. There was Vincent and Corey on the circus team. There was Scott Smith, Scott Waterski. Scott was funny because when he would do the, you know, they would do the like the Olympics, and we would hand out medals to the GMs every week. Scott's from Texas, and it was awesome to hear him speak French with his Texas accent. Oh man, let's see who else. There was Winnie. Winnie was on the
Scuba.
scuba team.
Yep.
Oh, I love Winnie.
Also a guest on the podcast. Shout out Winnie.
Oh yes, Winnie's the best. He was awesome. They, doing I remember there was an act that I think Julie did, and so there was a song called, I think it was Simply Irresistible by Robert Palmer. So Julie was the Robert Palmer character, and then the male scuba geos were all the women dressed in like the sexy sequined outfits. And just the way Winnie would would ham it up would have me in tears. So funny. So funny. Yeah, all the passages. I always really enjoyed the passages that I would see my teammates be cast in. I'd be like, oh my gosh, you guys are crazy. They were all so funny.
Well, here's a question. I don't ask a lot also. Do you have a recurring dream where you're working back at ClubMed, like still to this day, or not at all?
Yes. And
Really?
that's I when I saw that is such an interesting question, because I literally still to this day, not as much as I used to, but I would have recurring dreams that I was back there, and it would be Playa Blanca for some reason. And but I would be the age I am now, but my teammates would be the age they were then. Isn't that weird? But yeah, I would have recurring dreams,
So
and
you're
then I
working
would
as
wake up.
yeah, was there some anxiety situation? Because normally the dreams of the XGOs, there's something that they're not prepared for, something's running late. Like with me, that's every dream is like that. Like I can't enjoy myself. So your dream, are you struggling or something, or it's just or it's fine?
I think it's fine. I would
Okay, good.
remember. I would remember just, being transported back to the one of the villages, and being like, "Oh, cool, I'm back, I'm back." And there'd be times where I would be going there, thinking, "Oh, should I quit my job again? Should I do this lifestyle again?" And I'd be like, yes, cool. I got another contract for 6 months. And I'm just thinking, oh, well, what am I going to do with my job? Like, that was the anxiety I would have in my dreams. But that has been a recurring theme of mine ever since I left.
Well, yeah.
Obviously, I don't have that
Well,
dream
yeah, I
much
was
anymore.
curious since when you left Cancun and then went back to the quote unquote real world, did you have an inkling like, did I leave too soon? Should I
Oh, sure.
apply? You did? Okay.
I did. Because I could have gone well, maybe not anywhere, because of I didn't have all language, but there I was in good standing. I remember Howard McCauley. I was meeting with him. I think he was kind of in human resources at the time, and I remember him saying, like, okay, where do you want to go? And I said, I want to go to Club Med, New Jersey. I was just tired. I was really, really
Club Med, New Jersey. Okay.
I wanted to just go home, and I did. I went home and I slept for like 3 weeks straight. And the irony is, my decision to leave, it had nothing to do with me not wanting to stay. I had this vision of what I felt my life should be at a certain age, and I was 29, and I thought, oh, I got to make sure that I get back into my career and that I find a husband, because I want to get married and have kids. Well, I'm almost 55, and I never married, and I never had kids. So,
Oh, you
oops.
could have stayed longer. Okay.
Longer. Dag nabbit.
True, but you probably never saw yourself as the lead singer of two rock bands either, right?
Oh, absolutely
back
not.
Then, yeah.
Absolutely not.
And
And
I'm sorry.
also my experience that I got from Turks and Caicos and Cancun back to back, my first two villages out of the gate, I had the leadership team and the geo team. It couldn't have been better. And I didn't think that wherever I would go next, I didn't think it would get better than what it already was. So I kind of, I wanted to end on a high note.
Well, question, would Graham Maxwell be surprised that you did ballroom dancing for 5 years or he wouldn't? Okay, so let's get into that. Is it because you're watching Dancing with the Stars? What happened there? Like, who decides to do ballroom dancing for 5 years? It's very technical, right?
Oh, it's awesome. When I grew up dancing, I would say I was pretty good. I had a decent aptitude as a young kid. I never knew how to dance with another person though. And I was able to handle choreography and all the stuff we did at the village was just awesome and fun. And, Graham's choreography and his productions and even my own, he gave me a chance to do a little of my own choreography as well. But I wanted to learn how to dance with another human being. And just about 10 years ago on a whim, I went to an Arthur Murray studio that was near my house. And I just walked in saying, I just want to learn how to do salsa. And then I got bitten by the bug. And within like 2 months, I was already in Puerto Rico at a dance competition doing, salsa, merengue, cha-cha, waltz, tango, all these wonderful dances that I had learned. And for a couple of years, I just kind of went heavy into my dance education. And I kind of chilled on it now. It's a little costly. And also I got busier with just work and with my singing, but yeah, certainly Club Med had a stake in that decision as well.
And do you ever watch Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, sure.
Did you ever see some celebrity that was just really, really good? Like you felt worthy of the Mirrorball trophy?
I'll be honest, when I would watch it, it would be more on an occasion basis. It's weird. Like, even though I love to dance and I love to sing, I'm not a big fan of American Idol or The Voice or anything like that. And
okay. So
with Dancing with the Stars, I would certainly watch and check it out and I would be very impressed, but it also goes to show when you have really expert instruction and you have the time and the space that you need to learn and develop as a dancer, it's amazing to see people's progress. But yeah, there were a lot of people on Dancing with the Stars where I was like, whoa, I had no.
Well, wait, excuse me, Christy. Let's go back to what you just said. So you're saying that because I learned at midnight and I didn't have a lot of time and I was exhausted, that's why I was a crappy dancer? Because I'll go with that. I'll take that because that explains so much what you just said. Because yes, you're Dancing with the Stars. People are in a nice LA dance studio for 7 to 9 hours a day and they're taking breaks. But we didn't have that luxury, right?
Oh, we did not. We did not, right? So, but yeah, I mean, Club Med gave me the opportunity to step outside of just my comfort zone that I was in up until that point, where I was like, oh, I did my thing. I went to college, got a job, did all that stuff. And that was all fine and good. But the Club Med experience just was a huge enhancement to my life. And it still is with me to this day in how I conduct myself.
Okay, Chrissy, just one or two more questions, if it's okay. Since you worked in Turks and Caicos in Cancun in the late 90s, so two big singles villages, are you happy or glad we did not have social media back then?
I am happy. I am happy we did not have that. I am happy that we were not attached to a device, that we were not attached to likes and comments and shares and all that stuff. We were able to totally live in the moment. And, once the moment is past, it's a memory. And I didn't want my memory to be me looking at my phone and just taking selfies of myself. I was able to just be with my team and be in these beautiful locations and learning new skills and just having a ball. It's like, that's where we were able to truly be present. And I am grateful that we didn't have social media back then.
Yeah, I agree. And you seem to me, after just speaking with you this last hour, that you don't seem to have any regrets. Like, you're glad that you, when you applied and didn't get accepted, you're glad that you, did that whole PowerPoint. Like, you're glad you took the plunge, right?
Oh my gosh. There are pivotal moments in many people's, in all of our lives, right? Where you might be like, ooh, I was like this before and after this event happened, you know? And Club Med is like one of those defining events for me, how my life was before and after, and of course during. But it was that significant. Even though it was only 1 year of my life, I packed a lot into that year. And it was at such a pivotal age, in my opinion, a pivotal time in life. And it was awesome, really. I just loved every minute of it, and I miss it. Yeah, it's just great to talk to you and relive some of these wonderful memories.
Well, Noah, it's been awesome for you to share it with us. So I want to thank you for sharing it with us and our listeners. Thanks so much, Christy.
Thank you very much.
One last question. Did you find that your first season was magical, or did you like Turks and Cancun for different reasons?
That's a tough one.
They can both be magical.
Both were magical for sure. Yeah. I think Turks was a little bit more magical for me. It was a smaller village. I was very close to my team. Not to say I wasn't close to my team in Cancun, but I still was very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know, because it was my first season. I was able to get into the organization through a very unique method, and I was just so excited to be there. I was like voted most energetic employee like 1 month or whatever, and my face was like, picture of me was hung up somewhere. I just was so grateful for the opportunity, you know. But Cancun, being a bigger village and being nestled right in, you know, in Cancun, and the excitement that entailed, you know, just such so many fun experiences, funny stories. Yeah, so they both had magic in them, just a little bit different. Different pixie dust, you know?
Awesome. Thank you so much, Christy, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. This was great. I appreciate it too.
Now here's where we say goodbye to all our listeners and thank them for listening. I'm not going to say sing it away. I'll just have you say your goodbyes, Christy.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for listening. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Greg. Appreciate it.
That was Christy Nielsen, and we will see you all next week with another new installment. Bye.